The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
Hey, these are the movies that molded me. These are the movies that molded me. Jah love the movies. Jah love the movies. Hey, one love. Hey, I like the movies with the boobies.
Oh, welcome back to that time again where everybody gets so excited because it's everybody's favorite segment made into its own episode. It is the movies that mold me.
Ooh,
and what we're doing today, guys.
The motherfucking movies that molded me.
It's Halloween time, so we're going to talk about those scary movies or Halloween specific movies that have molded us throughout the years and give you guys a top five list. And today joining us on Movies That Molded Me, our normal cast of characters minus Andy, we got Seth over there somewhere.
Okay. Disclaimer.
Well,
okay,
and then we have, you're advertising, we have Chris over here as well.
You're advertising a top five list, and I'm just putting out a disclaimer to all our listeners that everyone's going to have a top five list today except for me. I'm not participating. I am here.
I didn't say I was going
to
have a top five list, Seth.
Sure,
don't
thanks.
Speak for me. Okay. Don't put words in my mouth.
Seth
Chris
and Elizabeth
is also here.
Are just here for comic relief.
Yes.
And to basically give me shit. And me and Chris are going to talk about movies. So
that's
right.
What
we
love me.
So I actually did a little bit of research before starting, and I'm really excited to talk about this, guys, because there are more than five Halloween-based scary movies that have molded me throughout the years.
Well, now, hold on just a second. We talked to people like Dave Warnock. We talked to people like Chris Fillingham, and you may take a couple of notes. I looked at the notes that Omar took for this that we're going to do today, and it's like three or four pages long.
He kept writing. Mine's on a sticky note, you guys. Like a 3x3 sticky
and
note.
I wrote
and he's
really,
got like
really tiny letters, too. So.
On an 8.5x11 sheet of paper. It's like got notes.
I'm pretty sure he developed a genogram and a socio
biopsychosocial
assessment.
I even drew little pictures at the top, if you guys can see.
We
he's
need
got
to
the
Instagram
Fade Gray
that
logo
shit
and
later.
A ghost.
Yeah,
that's pretty
yeah.
Funny.
We'll take pictures of the notes later so you can see them.
I'm just doing mine off the top of my head. We'll see how this goes.
Speaking of off the top of your head, nice haircut, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. No worries. You guys ready to talk some movies? Because I mean, I have people like Tim Burton and Stephen King, Dan Aykroyd on my list as the writers for some of these movies. So
oh,
just
please tell me it's not. Please tell me you're going to have Nothing But Trouble on there. Please tell me.
We'll have to get into that. Maybe. That's a very scary movie.
Oh, my God.
What the hell is Nothing But Trouble?
Okay, so who wants to go first? I got two honorable mentions. I guess we'll just go real quickly on a mention. Shout out to It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh,
from
yeah.
1966.
Yeah.
In fact, just recently, within the last like week or so, I bought a 3-pack Charlie Brown movie for my kids to watch. And it is... I've been buying old nostalgia movies for my kids to watch, things that I grew up on like recently, and it's been a lot of fun having them watch it for the first time. But that 3-pack was the most I've spent on any movie for those kids in a long time. I've been getting 2- and 3-pack movies for like, $7-$8.
Was it like a DVD?
Bucks. Yeah, oh yeah, DVD.
$20 for a DVD?
Well, you got 3 movies in there, but yeah, still, it was kind of crazy.
Oh my gosh, but I can't believe people even still buy those. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, and then especially because I'll walk past and then that's just like laying on the floor. I'm like, kids!
That was $20.
They do not treat DVDs well.
Then obviously, if you guys haven't seen it, please watch it. It's one of those classics. Obviously, when it came out, I think it had like an approval rating or a watch rating of like 47%. There was only three channels at the time, so it wasn't like there was a whole lot of competition. But you know, Linus, you know, he believes in the Great Pumpkin, and basically he's normally pretty level-headed, other than the fact that he always carries around a blanket. And but that's the one thing, you know, it's like a religious belief that every year he's looking for the Great Pumpkin and he never finds it. So
that is a great movie. Yeah,
our son wants to be Linus for Halloween this year. He's got his costume all made and everything. He made the shirt today.
Perfect. Yeah, I was actually watching that show, and it, like, I mean, Charlie Brown's just classic. It's great. I mean, what they did with Snoopy and the, like, the Arrow, was it
Red Baron?
The Red Baron Snoopy, like, just like super popular, became a stamp even. Mm-hmm. But the characters are so simple, and I was just realizing, I'm pretty sure Pigpen might have been a little bit on this, like, we don't want to use the R word around here. Yeah, we do. Pigpen was retarded, wasn't he?
Do you mean Pigpen or Linus? Because you had this conversation with our son and saying it may have been Linus.
Oh. Is Linus the one that, who has like the five pieces of hair sticking out the top of his head and his head's deformed? If you look at everyone else has like round shaped heads. And Linus's head is like, this, I'm like, poor guy. Like,
you think that they intentionally drew his head misshapen and like tried
everybody
to
else has round circle heads. Retarded?
I'm wondering. And why does he only have like five pieces of hair coming out the top of it?
It's... Seth's not getting mad yet because he's not paying attention.
Yeah, I tried to trigger Seth with the R word. He still hasn't said anything yet. So.
All right, anyway, this was supposed to be an
honorable mention. Right. So my second R.
So, I have a serious question. Speak. Honorable mentions, like, so are these in addition to the top five?
Yes.
Yeah. We just spent way too long on it, Seth. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So anyway, so the second one is The Witches, 1990. If you haven't seen it, it's great. Basically, some kid over here, some witches talking, and they're plotting to turn all the kids to mice, and he's trying to stop the witches. And so it's a really great show. You should see it.
And they feed him, they feed him chocolate, right? And then they turn into mice. Yeah, that's what it is. Angelica Houston.
See, yeah, you know more better than I do. See, I'm trying to move on quickly here so I don't get chastised by Seth, so let's not say anything more.
What
about
did this movie do for you? Like, how did it develop you?
We're not talking that deeply about the honorable
mention. Honorable mention,
move on.
Okay. I watched that movie probably like 80 times as a kid.
Is this on your top five, Chris? We're moving on.
No, but it's based on Roald Dahl. I mean, it's a good story.
Based on who?
Praise the Lord.
That dude, the same dude that did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The author. Isn't his name Roald Dahl or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good story. It's a good movie, and I recommend it. So.
Yeah, it's really good.
Don't want to trigger Seth, though, so let's move on.
Yeah, everyone, go and watch that movie right now. You need to pause whatever you are doing. Like, you wanted to have dinner with the children tonight? Nope, not you're not.
You know what's crazy
you're
is that the
down,
makeup in that
movie
was actually fantastic for the year it was made.
Yes, it
Angelica
was.
Houston looks nasty whenever she takes off her human, like, I say human, when she takes, because they wear, like, you know, regular lady faces, but whenever they take off their regular lady faces, they look just disgusting. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, CGI wasn't bad for 1990. You have kids turning into mice and running around talking mice, and so it's fun. So, Chris, I'm going to let you go ahead and get started. We'll actually get into the list, and we'll go...
Well, I have a couple of honorable mentions, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pump my brakes, then.
Well, yeah, pump your brakes. And
how about everybody just go ahead and just stop, make himself a drink.
Pump those
brakes. This is going to be a long episode. We're going to have fun talking about
pump
movies.
Pump those brakes. So.
Well... My honorable mention, I definitely want to talk about the Addams Family. I think, you know, of course, I really, really like the first and second Addams Family. I think they're great. The character of Wednesday Addams is awesome. You know, like she definitely steals the show in the second one. I think, you know, obviously Gomez in the first one, but either way, fantastic movies.
That was Selena Gomez?
No.
Which
that was Christina Ricci.
The new one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Played Wednesday Addams. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, she's on.
Have you seen the new one?
I have not seen the new one. There's a new cartoon, and I have not seen it.
Well, apparently,
there's a new
movie out, too, and there's a viral video going around of this Hispanic
you do
Christian
not take
guy.
Kids to it.
Yeah, talking about how
it's
demonic.
They had to leave.
They had to leave.
Really?
They had to leave the movie.
They did.
Because it was demonic, and
we can't let our children be around that. And so I hear that this movie has shaped you, and I am happy we're giving it an honorable mention. But children, this is not the movie for you to go to. Okay?
I say go see it.
We need to protect your souls.
I say go see it. I'd love to see it too. I just don't really do cartoons nowadays, but yeah.
Very dangerous.
That first one, though, that was the very first PG-13 movie I ever watched.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was.
It's great. It's fun. It's a really good movie. Both of them. Both Adam's
the
Family.
The first PG-13 movie you'd ever seen?
The Adam's Family, yep.
It was the beginning. It's a door, and it's dangerous.
It is a door. You got to be careful.
Oh, my goodness.
Little eyes, what you see.
The downfall.
Okay.
So did you just have one honorable mention, not like my two, Chris?
I'd also say I've got one more honorable mention, and of course it will be Scream.
Oh, see, yeah. That almost made it into my mentions of honorableness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
only because of the age I was when I saw it. Being a teenager, I was like the same age as all the teenagers in the show. And there was something about just that California lifestyle. Like, it was scary. It was scary. And they played off that campfire story that you always told growing up about the babysitter getting the call from inside the house.
Yeah.
And so that was always a scary story.
It's one of the most predictable movies ever created.
Okay. But at the same time, Seth, it's very meta. They talk about scary movies. It's like an homage, you know, to scary movies. It's fantastic. I don't even care, Seth. The opening scene, there's no way you predicted that the opening scene, Drew Barrymore was going to get killed. No fucking way. No fucking way you predicted that. So, whatever. Scream is great. None of the sequels, but the original.
I don't watch scary movies. I made my list of... So, I have a list of four movies that I think are Halloween-ish, and then three other movies that are the three scary movies that I've seen in my lifetime. So, I will pick... I will pick two of those as my honorable mention, The Skeleton Key and The Others.
I've heard about The Skeleton Key. Someone was telling me about that recently.
Those are both good movies.
Yeah, they are.
What is it in The Skeleton Key? What is the stuff that they put by the door?
Chalk.
Chalk.
I think we should just name this show Honorable Mentions, because that's all I'm going
to talk about. No, we'll get to the good stuff.
The top 10 list.
And honorable mentions. All right.
We'll get to the good stuff.
All right, go ahead.
So, Omar, you wanted me to start out with fifth?
We're going to start from five going to one, for sure.
Okay.
So, and if there's any overlap, though, obviously, if like your fifth is my third, while we're talking about the movie, I'll mention it or something like that. So.
Okay. Well, my fifth, all right, the fifth top Halloween/scary-themed movie or whatever, is The Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's really a musical.
Why is that scary? Because you're, like, homophobic?
No, it's not really scary at all. It's just there's elements of horror all throughout it. Dr. Frankenfurter, of course, is, you know, he's creating a Frankenstein, and that's Rocky. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
It's a
hilarious.
Cult classic. It's a great movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go. That's a good one. I didn't make my list, but I like it. Babe?
I have to watch it every Halloween. I have to watch that movie.
You do? Is that like a tradition for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you go to like a local theater and watch it? Because I know that a lot of times, like some of the older theaters will play that, and then you can dress up in drag and go watch it.
There are a lot of theaters around here that play it, but I've never ever done that. I just watch it on TV.
I still haven't seen it. So my top.
Oh, you need to see it, babe.
I know. It's sad, isn't it?
I would really, really like to see it.
To what? Finish your statement.
I see you shiver with anticipation.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Seth. Babe, go ahead. What's your what's your number five?
Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That was probably... It was, for me, when I watched it, it was one of the gorier movies I'd ever seen. And it just, like... was weird for my brain. Like it was one of the first times I'd ever watched a suspense movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would call it horror or thriller necessarily, but the suspense in it was the first time I'd really ever watched those shows. Like I say, I don't watch movies like this. And so for me, it was like way over the top.
There are definitely some bone chilling scenes there, you know, and certainly gore.
Yeah.
In the school with the guy that was being hung. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yes. And so like I was jumping during a few of these parts, and I was watching it. I was watching it in Europe with a bunch of Polish people who were watching it with subtitles because they didn't speak English very well. And I kept jumping, and they were laughing at me. So like I was the comedic relief for the show. And I'm like, I left terrified, had to walk the streets of Warsaw by myself to get home. And I'm like, I don't want to, just take me home.
Yeah, you remember the kid that he sees? He's like, hey, let me show you where my dad keeps his gun. And then he turns around. He's got like this huge bullet hole out the back of his head. God, that really tore me up whenever I watched that for the first time. Ugh.
Yes, I could not
handle
that.
They definitely went for like shock value for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the twist at the end, though, it's one of those movies.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was so good and it had such a good twist that after you saw it once, you had to see it again to see how you missed it.
Right.
And then after that, it's kind of like, it's not one that you watch over and over again.
Well, Seth, of course, got it the first time he watched it. He already knew. He predicted it. You know. Seth,
is your mic broken,
still?
Seth?
He's just staring at us. Seth, where's the quip? Still nothing. Oh my gosh, you guys.
This is so much fun.
I think he's on strike.
Do you want to throw out a movie for number five, Seth, or you want me to just go ahead and take mine?
You just go ahead and take it, sir.
Mm. Yeah, it's not the first time you said that. Grown man. So my number five is none other than Dan Aykroyd written, Dan Aykroyd starred, Bill Murray, Sigourney Weaver, Rick Moranis. We're talking about Blazing Jimenez. We're talking about the Ghostbusters.
I don't know who that person is, but you did not say that name right.
Sigourney Weaver? I fucked it up. That's the only one I really fucked up. But I had to put Ghostbusters 1 and 2 because as I was doing the research, I was realizing that Ghostbusters 2 is actually a better movie. But there's things in Ghostbusters 1 that you need to be able to get into Ghostbusters 2. So you have to like watch them in order, but you definitely watch them both. And the second one is better, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you that the second one is better. Ghostbusters also made my list. It's my number four. So we'll might as well get that out now.
Yeah. Let's get into it. So why would you say that then?
I think Ghostbusters 1 is equally as good as Ghostbusters 2. I'm just saying, I don't think one is better than the other. I think they're both really great, really well done.
That painting, the guy in the painting is just stuck with me my entire life. And then the slime that powers like all the evil that's flowing through the sewers is just there's nothing.
Yeah, but the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, man.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the gargoyles terrifying. In the first one is terrifying.
And goes,
it really is. And the comedy. I mean, like, I just listed some of the best comedians of that era.
Bill Murray is incredible in whatever he's in. I fucking love that guy. And he makes those movies to me. And I kept thinking to myself, like, can you imagine being Dan Aykroyd on the set of that? And you're just watching Bill Murray do his thing. How are you not completely distracted and not able to do your job? Because of how fucking funny this guy is.
I mean, there's a few people that I think have that ability. And like Chris Farley was one of those people, you know, that just are over the top. And like every scene they do, they bring like, you know, 110. And Bill Murray is such legendary status, though. It's like he could shit on a napkin and it would be something worth watching. He would...
Yeah.
And he's such a cool dude too. Like every like Bill Murray sighting where he just is hanging out drinking beers with like regular people. He's such like a regular dude.
He just walks like around, and if he sees people playing soccer in a park, he'll go and join them. Like that's what he does, you know. He's just
maybe
hilarious.
Not now.
I've heard, you know, as recently as a couple years ago that he does that kind of shit still, you know. He's just a really cool down to earth dude, from what I understand.
He's someone we should all emulate.
We should. The world would be a better place if we had a little bit more Murray in us.
If everyone was like Bill Murray. Yeah. But yeah, Ghostbusters, man, incredible. You know what was not incredible was the Ghostbusters remake. No offense, ladies.
I still haven't seen it, but I want to watch it because of the ladies. And I realize that, whatever, say what you will, but I don't know. I don't actually remember watching the original Ghostbusters all the way through. I know that I've seen parts of it, but I don't know that I've actually watched either of them all the way through. So therefore, I must wait to watch the lady version.
The lady version's good. The problem is you can't compare it to the other one.
It's not good.
If you take it like and ignore the fact that there are, was there three? Did they make three original Ghostbusters or was it just two?
Two original Ghostbusters, two. And then, well, they had the cartoon as well, but they did the
cartoon was also count. Very good.
Hell yeah,
by the
it
way.
Was. The cartoon ruled.
I love yeah.
But yeah.
But it doesn't count for this.
No. But the remake with the women, I'm sorry.
It can count.
It just wasn't good. The writing was horrible.
Chris,
I was bored the entire time. It's not because it was women.
I don't trust your movie critiques. I trust Omar's movie critiques. Okay.
It was entertaining.
Damn.
I don't want to go as far as to say it's good.
It's fair.
I'll say as a standalone
go
movie,
with this a bit.
It is entertaining.
I 100% disagree. And I can say that. I can say that because if you watch a movie like Bridesmaids, which is incredible, okay, and that's a majority female cast, like I feel safe saying that this Ghostbusters remake with all women was absolute garbage and no one should ever waste their time watching it. Leslie Jones is one of the worst comedians ever. No offense.
No offense. I think you meant offense. Do you want to go with your number four, babe?
Yes, my number four is Casper. Laugh at me all you want.
Another
I don't
Christina
even
Ricci
care.
Film.
But exactly, Christina Ricci and that kiss at the end between her and Malachi, what's his face, who was the voice of Casper?
Devon Sawa.
Every girl wanted to kiss him, and it was nice. So anyway, that's my number four.
Yeah. All right.
Casper's kind of cute.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've seen it. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was definitely entertaining as a kid. I don't know
yeah,
as an adult.
Yeah, it was entertaining as a kid.
Yeah, as an adult, probably not.
I think my,
but the CGI not, ghosts were really funny.
They were. They were really funny. And the what was it? The room that they found?
Yeah.
And like the
like
lock
the lab.
System or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
that was
really,
really
cool.
I really liked that part.
Yeah. And Bill Pullman is really good in that movie.
Let us watch it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He plays the dad.
It had ghosts in it, so my mom would have been like against it, but somehow we got it like, you know, slid it in there.
Yeah.
And watched it anyway. But,
it's good yeah, stuff.
So that's my number four. What's yours, Omar?
My number four is Beetlejuice.
I have not seen that movie, and I should have because it's from my generation. I know. Isn't that weird?
I just watched Beetlejuice a couple of days ago.
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is fantastic.
I don't know. I was a little young when I saw it. Like, so I've been 8 years old when it came out. Probably didn't see it in theaters, so I probably saw it in the following year. So I was probably like 10, my daughter's age.
Seth wasn't she would alive. Not be able to
she would not be able to handle it. But
what year was it?
1988.
I guess it was 88. I wasn't alive.
But it's a Tim Burton movie, guys, by the way. So if you didn't know that, he directed
Who hasn't made a good film since Sweeney Todd, but okay, keep going.
Sweeney Todd's a good one. That didn't make
it. Yeah, it is.
And see, we got Alec Baldwin in there. Gina Davis, Michael Keaton plays Beetlejuice. And basically the story is you have this nice family, husband and wife, moving into this house. And
No. That family's not nice. The Dietzes?
Well, the nice family that they set it up so you don't know that the family that's living in the house is dead. So you set up your they're like moving in, they're setting everything up, and then here comes like the actual family moving in, and you start to realize that okay, this other family's dead, so they try to scare off this new family because they're moving into their home, and the new people, instead of being scared off, are like, this is an opportunity to make some money. So it started like basically like turning them into an attraction site, and then the dead family who originally lived in the house consults Beetlejuice for help in order to try to scare off this family. So it's very entertaining movie and a little bit scary.
It is extremely entertaining. And Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, I think that this is Michael Keaton's best role he's ever been in. He didn't win an Oscar for this. He won an Oscar for Birdman, which was a good movie. But anytime I think of Michael Keaton, this is who I think of. I think of Beetlejuice. And I think he does an absolutely fantastic job in this role. It didn't make my list because I don't consider it a Halloween movie or even a scary movie at all. But it does involve ghosts and, you know, all sorts of really fun creatures. And of course, Beetlejuice is the bio-exorcist. Which is just absolutely hilarious. But anyways, yeah, it's a fantastic movie. I also really, really enjoy it and love it.
Right on. Seth, do you want to throw a movie in? Act like you have a number four. Just pick something.
I don't, man.
Do you know who Michael Keaton is?
I mean, but if we're technically... Well, wait a second. Hold up. Let's talk for a second. So you threw in Beetlejuice, which is neither a Halloween movie or a scary movie.
I was a little scared by it. When I was 10 years old and saw that, I'm telling you, it scared me. And it molded me. What's the name of this segment?
Okay, fine. So
that movie definitely molded
me too.
I'll say,
well, if that's the rules and the parameters by what we're using, I mean, I'll throw a movie in. How about Labyrinth?
Labyrinth is great.
Childhood. Okay. That like that kid, the baby. It
scared the shit out of me.
What Dude. Kind of magic spells to use?
I think the flying dog was awesome, but like the
flying dog was from The Neverending Story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother movie, and I was scary too. But see, the Labyrinth, I watched on way
too
much.
No, but wait, Labyrinth. Labyrinth had the baby in the crate, right? Okay, so I'm taking the right one, and they go into this. No, but I am
maybe
mixing up the two.
It's a Labyrinth.
A Labyrinth.
Yeah. David Bowie.
Yeah, David Bowie.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's the scary. Goblin King. No, that's a fantastic movie. Yeah. It didn't make my list, though, because it's not scary.
Well, when you're on as much acid I was on when I watched it, it can be a little freaky. I have not watched it
but
since.
But I just want to say,
your eyes can be so cruel.
That Omar's description of Beetlejuice was one of the greatest presentations I've ever seen. And I just want to, I mean, I'm
he
just
He was
so
also
happy.
Wrong about part of it, but whatever.
Well, yeah, no, that didn't matter. It was a great presentation. And
so does it make you
want
to see the movie now, Seth?
Under no circumstances
what?
Would I watch
Have
that
you ever seen
again.
Beetlejuice?
Why would I need to? I heard about it from beginning to end from Omar.
But you didn't hear about
No, you didn't about hear Lydia. Any no. of the good stuff. It's such a good movie. And the little girl... And the relationship between like the daughter and Beetlejuice is
I didn't mean to bring this
is like
up.
Almost like can bring you to tears at parts. It's a very awesome relationship, a friendship.
Let's move to the next film. Yeah, it was great.
Number three.
You know Alec Baldwin? You know Alec Baldwin says that he thought that that movie was going to end his career.
Really?
I can understand why.
He's not happy about having been in that movie.
Wow.
Which is crazy because he did great. I mean, he you know, is great in that movie. It's probably my favorite role he's ever done because I don't really care for him otherwise.
You don't mind him when he's being Donald Trump? Because that's amazing.
I disagree. I think he sucks at it.
Beetlejuice actually kind of reminds me in a way of Candyman just because of the whole idea. If you say, I don't know if you ever saw Candyman with the bees.
Oh, yeah.
If you say it three times, you know, he'll show up. Mm-hmm. But Candyman's actually terrifying.
That is terrifying.
I think I watched that.
I remember watching that as a kid.
That's not on my list. So anyway, let's move on. Number three, another obscure movie that you would not know unless you're at least 35 years old, probably, is The Monster Squad. This is a 1987 movie. I looked up the cast and characters, and I didn't recognize any of the names in it. But I can tell you about the movie because it molded me so well. Basically, you're a small town. It reminded me a lot of like the Goonies or Stand By Me sort of feel of a group of kids in school that, you know, are nerds or just kind of hang out a little obscure, but they're all like way into monsters and comic books. and they are suspicious of this haunted house or this house that looks haunted in their neighborhood. And you come to find out that like all their suspicions are true, and Dracula is basically planning to take over the world, and it's starting in their town. And he's listing the help of all these different monsters, from Wolfman to the Swamp Monster to all these different. It's definitely a comedy. It's definitely a kids movie. It's called The Monster Squad, and it made my list at number 3. So there you go.
I have never seen this movie, and I am definitely over 35, but I will say that you have talked about this before, and I do want to see it just because you compare it to The Goonies and to Stand By Me, both of which are fantastic movies. So I do need to watch this. However, it does scare me whenever you say that no one is recognizable from the list of people who are in it.
That is scary. It makes me wonder how good the acting is in it, because again, I haven't seen this movie in God, probably over 30 years now. Mm. Well, no, that's not true. I would say 25 years.
I was neither interested in watching that film, nor was I even alive at the time of its conception, so I really don't care. But it sounds like it really molded you, and that I think is encouraging, and I'm happy that it did.
I'll tell you, the very end, spoiler alert, they say the kids saved the world. Like, the Earth was going to open up kind of like it did on, The duck. The Seth talking says, duck, yes, that please. My kids.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck. Yeah, yeah. At the end of Howard the Duck.
I didn't.
The sky opens up and it's trying to like suck in the world. It does the same sort of thing, but the kids save the day. Watch the show.
Is this the movie where the kid has to put peanut butter on his pubes to make him grow?
Why are I don't think so.
What the hell?
There was a movie.
Let's turn this back.
You don't like putting peanut butter on your pubes?
Oh, no. There was a movie I watched. It was a scary movie that I watched as a kid where this kid wants to get pubes, and so he talks to dead people who tell him to put this peanut butter stuff on his pubes, and then he can't stop growing pubes. And so like at school, he's got like hair coming out of his pant legs.
Oh my God.
I can't remember. It's really silly.
Did it scare
That's
you?
Disgusting.
I remember it being scary. I haven't seen this since I was a kid though. So I don't even remember what it's called. Anyway,
it was probably not scary as much as it was traumatizing for you.
I'm sure as an adult,
you probably really did
want to
grow
up. Scary at all?
You know what it sounds like? Goosebumps show.
It probably was something like that. Who knows? Maybe like an Are You Afraid
or
of the Dark?
Yeah,
what was
Are
that
You Afraid of the Dark?
Nickelodeon
yeah.
show was Tales that? Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Omar. Yes, Chris. My number 3 is The Great Pumpkin. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yay.
Again, not scary, but like I said, I don't watch scary movies, so.
It's a Halloween-themed movie. It's good.
Halloween-themed movie.
Yeah.
Hashtag white girl!
My number 3 movie is Hocus Pocus.
Wow, interesting.
That's your number 3?
That did not make my list.
It made my list, man. I have to watch it every Halloween. I love it. But whenever I was a kid, we went to the theaters and watched it, and it's kind of become a Halloween tradition. So, you know, I just, it's so much fun. And Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker, very, very funny. I think it's so much fun.
Right on. I think it's a good movie. I remember seeing it, but, you know, it wouldn't make my list. It's not something that molded me, but good movie. I'd definitely like recommend if you haven't seen it to see it for sure. We're on 3 still. Do you want to throw something out, Seth, now that you know how we're playing along?
I really like how you guys are, you know, complimenting each other's films when in fact you like really don't care about the film at all, nor do you find the film important, nor will you ever go listen to it. It's just really nice to see that amount of kindness and respect.
I told Omar I would probably not go watch his monster movie, whatever. I don't even remember what it was called.
You did own that.
Yeah, and I said Hocus Pocus doesn't mold me at all, but I think it's a good movie and worth watching if you haven't seen it. So I'm sorry, Seth, not everybody can be as salty as you are. So
it's just funny. Like, you have all these old witches from like 200 years ago being thrown in the middle of the 1990s. And so, you know, they come across a blacktop and they think it's a river, you know.
It's funny. There's some funny scenes in it, yeah. So we are now at number two. Is that what's going on? Or did you do your number
what
three?
What was your number three? I did mine. I did. Charlie Brown.
The Monster Squad.
Oh, that was Monster number three. Squad. Okay. Yeah. All right. What is, yeah, number two then.
All right. Well, I recognize that I kind of screwed this up, but I'm still going to go hard with this because I actually did Ghostbusters was my number two. And my number five was this one. But, you know, it's okay because it's really good and it's really scary. The first time I watched it, I couldn't actually watch it all the way through. And it's Carrie. And we're going to talk about it.
Like the original one?
The original 1976. Yeah. Stephen King wrote the novel, obviously. Yeah. And you have like Sissy Spacek, I believe is how you say it.
Spacek.
Sissy Spacek and John Travolta are in it. And basically... It's it's extremely relevant movie if you think about how she had a religious. It wasn't her mother. It was some lady that was watching.
No, it was her mother.
It was her mother.
Yeah,
who was extremely religious and thought
cover your dirty pillows.
Anything that had anything to do with sex or
dirty pillows
or the menstrual cycle was all sin. You know, and it didn't make any sense logically because every woman goes through that, and so she was made to feel shame, and then she ended up having like. Kind of developing these like telepathic powers, you could say, and end up having a bunch of shame. So she thought she was an obscure kid.
They're all little avatar.
Exactly. She's a very obscure kid. And she had a popular guy invite her to this dance. And she thought that she's going to be accepted and fit in. And then they dump a bunch of pig's blood on her and she goes freaking batshit and kills everybody. And that's where I stopped watching it the first time I ever saw it. But.
Yeah,
it's
that movie
good.
Is pretty insane. It did not make my list, but I do really like that movie. And Sissy Spacek is absolutely incredible in that movie. You really feel for her and you really, you know, are a champion for her throughout the entire film. And then, of course, at the end, she becomes the anti-hero and just destroys everyone. You know, it's great.
Very good. Very terrifying. Make sure your kids aren't around if you're going to watch it. So, but definitely watch it if you have not.
Nope.
So that's my number two. I'm sticking with it. What do you got, Chris?
My number two is the 1982 film Poltergeist. Definitely not the remake. Definitely not the one from 2015 because it's shit. But definitely the one from 1982 is incredible. This is a movie that is directed by Tobe Hooper, but people say it was actually directed by Steven Spielberg. He was a producer, but he was like pretty much there the entire time. And it definitely feels like a Spielberg film because not only is it terrifying, but which, by the way, Tobe Hooper directed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, the original one, and was brought on to direct this one. So this is it's basically a co-production of a horror film person. And then, of course, a sci-fi person, Steven Spielberg. And It shows that there's a collaboration because there's really terrifying events that happen in this movie. The idea of something from another world coming and taking your child and you being completely powerless against it is absolutely horrific. But there's so much heart to it. And the actress, I can't remember her name right now, but the one that plays the mom in that film, you just like there are parts where she's aching for her child and you just want to cry with her because you're like, oh my gosh, you feel her pain. You know, she's so talented. And the movie is so well written, so well directed. It's horrifying. It's endearing. It's everything that I want in a horror movie. Nowadays, horror movies are all about jump shots, the ones that make you like, you know, jump real quick. And then it's like, that's what's scary. No, what's really terrifying is the fact that some, you know, person from another dimension comes and takes your kid and you can't do fuck all about it. You know, it's a classic movie with, you know, classic effects, like old school effects, but it's absolutely terrifying. And it's a fantastic movie.
I have not seen that because I still want to go to heaven. So.
Well, you need to see that movie, man. You really should. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to go watch that movie.
As with the date coming out in 1982, I remember seeing it on shelves when I was a kid. But, you know, growing up in Christian background and everything, it was just one of those things that, like, it's still just that time frame and age for, like, me, like, Like, I picture that movie with like going to hell.
So. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I was not a Christian whenever I watched it. My, you know, I didn't grow up around religious people. So my mom loved to expose me to those kind of things as a kid. So I, you know, I grew up watching movies like that, and that movie sticks with me, and I watch it every single year around Halloween time. So I love it.
I'll give it a shot. Try anything once. No, Seth, don't look at me that way.
You should have seen his face light up.
You want to go with a number two, babe?
Sure. My number two is Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit. It's probably the scariest Wallace and Gromit.
Never heard of it.
You know Wallace and Gromit?
Don't know what that is.
No.
Okay, yeah. It's the British. No, shut up. It's the British show they put on PBS that Wallace and Gromit are claymation characters, a dog and a window washer. Shut up. And they
own
my gosh.
It. Like, don't have shame about it.
I don't have shame. He just won't shut up. Now I've lost my train of thought like five times.
Did this come on the same channel as Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, like back in the day?
Yes. I don't know how. I feel like I should have seen it then. 2005. They came out like when I was in high school. They really weren't that scary, and they were supposed to be for kids. But
when you were in homeschool, you mean?
I was graduated by then, and they were a little bit scary. They were more geared towards adults. So I really like claymation. I like the idea of that art form, and it's just really fun to see what people can come up with. So it's by the same. Let me see, Wallace and Gromit. Those people also did the Chicken Run. It's that same.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's that same guy, that same artist. And so yeah, the Were-Rabbit is a rabbit that got injected with I can't remember what and turns into like a werewolf, but
Seth's
into a were-rabbit.
Semen.
And this window washer and his dog who doesn't say anything but has the best character. Movements save the day. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's my number two.
Shout out to Wallace and
Gromit.
Whatever his name, Gromit.
I'm telling you, I don't watch scary movies.
Is this like a Rocky and Bullwinkle? Are they like, so you said claymation, are they actual humans or are they animals?
Have you not seen Chicken Run, Chris?
I have not seen that. What is that?
That's actually pretty good too. If it's the same creator,
Wallace and Gromit is better than Chicken Run. Chicken Run was the full-length movies that he made after he did the whole Wallace and Gromit thing. Go look up Shaun the Sheep, Wallace and Gromit, Chicken Run. He did all
these.
So, like, the people talk. No, it's not VeggieTales. Claymation, not computer animation.
Okay. Yeah.
Not Christian. Not, no. The dog, like, the animals don't actually, well, in Chicken Run, the animals talk. But in Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep, the animals don't actually talk, but all the expression in their face and their body movement says everything. And then the Wallace character, the person, the Wallace person, he actually talks and is a person. And the artist does these face things. Like he's got really big cheeks and this tiny little head. And his mouth is cheese. He really likes cheese. That's his main line.
Well, I really like cheese too. Maybe I'll have to watch that one.
Yeah, watch that one.
So basically, I'm noticing something here, Chris. I'm thinking
that
my number one is your number one because I have not heard it mentioned yet. And so
I bet it is.
Basically, what we're going to do to end this segment here is just determine that that's everybody's number one and that is the winner.
Well, now, wait a minute. Elizabeth has a number one.
It doesn't matter. We're going to... No, we'll let Seth and Elizabeth go first.
Well, Elizabeth, what's your number one?
My number one is So I Married an Axe Murderer, 1993.
Oh, okay.
With Mike Myers and Nancy Travis.
That's a good movie.
I like that one a lot.
Sweet Harriet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie's great. That is a good movie.
Yeah, I want to go watch it again, actually. Every time I see it, actually, if anybody, call back to season one, if anybody remembers our interview with Suzanne Molnar, she was the one that introduced me to that movie. I hung out with her at her apartment for the first time back in 2000, and she introduced me to that movie. We had a really great night drinking wine and watching Mike Myers.
Yeah, that movie's pretty funny and definitely has that 90s weird quirky vibe to it. You know, lots of weird quirky movies back then.
Yeah. I love Mike Myers is
more
one.
Dynamic. Yeah. That was probably one of his better characters because there was more dynamics in it. And his other characters are funnier, but it's just more like kind of like slapstick stuff. I don't know.
Well, that movie's the first time you hear the Shrek voice, right? Because I think his dad in that movie was Scottish. And so he does the voice.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and listen again. I hadn't remembered that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good movie.
Let's go ahead and tell the listeners what they need to do after they stop watching this. And I'm not even going to give you spoilers in this one because it's so fucking good. But Donnie Mother Truckin' Darko.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, for me, just for me, the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal, I guess, is that how you say it?
Gyllenhaal.
The fact that... Yep. Just come watch movies that mold me where you can hear me just butcher every actor's name. That's what I'm going to do. So, but him and his sister are both in these movies. I will say that I think Elizabeth looks a lot like Maggie Gyllenhaal but better. See, babe.
Aww.
But
she definitely looks better than Maggie Gyllenhaal.
But I think she's really cute.
Maggie's really cute though. Maggie's super
She's all right. She's right. A good actress, like don't get me wrong. But as far as attractiveness level to me,
Let's get into the plot a little bit, Chris. Why don't you go ahead and...
Okay, so this is a Richard Kelly written and directed movie, which he's only done a few movies, and his other movie, The Box, was horrible. So don't watch it. But Donnie Darko is incredible. It is a...
Nice
did
warm.
You really?
It's nice and warm.
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Steph doesn't like The Box.
This movie is awesome because it's like everything sci-fi that you love. It's thriller. It's shut the fuck up. It's time travel.
I got your back. I got your back, Chris.
Tell me.
It's not aliens, but there are creatures like a giant bunny rabbit named Frank.
That's just weird.
But time travel, it is disturbing.
It's one of the best time travel movies that there is. Let's just go ahead and say that. I mean,
I agree. And believe it or not, there's an actor in this movie that is absolutely horrible in everything he's ever done except for this movie. And I'm talking about, anyone know?
No. Who are you talking about?
Patrick Swayze.
Oh, that's interesting because Seth Rogen and Drew Barrymore are also in this movie.
Yes, but this is actually Drew Barrymore's worst movie because she actually did not act well in this movie.
No, I agree. She didn't have a huge role either, but she didn't do great.
Yeah, her part is really unbelievable. She's actually my least favorite part about this movie, which is weird because I historically love Drew Barrymore, and I think she's normally a very good actress. But yeah, Seth Rogen's in this movie. He plays a bully. Anyhow... The movie is fantastic. It really is good. It
takes place in 1988.
Yeah, it's a throwback movie. The soundtrack is incredible. You got all those really great 80s new wave bands being played throughout the soundtrack.
And we can say basically, it's one of those things. So the main character wakes up, you know, in the middle of the night and encounters this scary rabbit named Frank, who basically tells him the world's going to end in 28 days. And then from there, it just gets crazier and crazier. And I'm actually going to go watch that after, I think, tonight, honestly. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
The more I talk
about it, I actually planned on doing the exact same thing. Yeah.
It's a very good movie.
Have either of you seen Donnie Darko, Seth or Elizabeth?
Nope.
I think you would enjoy it.
I might. So. I've actually a couple of my boyfriends, this has been their favorite movie as well. And they've all told me to watch it. So since I started dating... Back in whenever it was that I dated the first guy, 2002.
Well, the movie came out in 2001.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Ever since it came out, I've been told to watch it by every man in my life.
Did it even go to theaters either?
No, it did. Okay.
I guess
the reason why this is a Halloween movie is because it's also set during Halloween.
It takes place in Halloween.
So, yeah. So that, you know, it could be considered a Halloween movie or just the fact that it is pretty terrifying in spots. Like there are parts where, you know, I'm like, ooh, I get chills and stuff, you know, because it is terrifying in a couple of spots. It's not supposed to be a scary movie per se. It's really more of a psychological thriller. But you know, there are elements of horror in the movie for sure. And it's something that will stick with you and you'll ponder on it for years to come.
It's a very intelligent movie. It's one of those things that they've thought through it brilliantly. I can't say brilliantly. I can't fucking talk today. They thought through it brilliantly. And basically, like, as far as time travel movies go and physics and all that stuff, this movie is referenced often as some of the closest and possibly explaining like how time travel might work. So if it works.
There's another movie that I won't get into, but on the subject of time travel, that is also referenced all the time, called Primer. And if you haven't seen that, you got to watch it too, but it's not a Halloween movie nor is it scary. But as far as time travel goes, it's really, really great.
Well, guys, thanks for listening this week. That's it. That's the top five plus a few honorable mentions. And so I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we did. Go out, enjoy Donnie Darko, eat all of your kids' Halloween candy, and stay safe out there, my friends. Look out for razor blades and weed candies. Actually, if you send all your weed candy my way.